What's up, everybody? My name is Jacob Walters, and I'm a senior on the Crocus Plains Regional Secondary School football team. When we had our first Lead 'Em Up session with Adam, I knew this was something our team can really benefit from. It had a huge impact on our team, and I felt through our practices you can really see the actual impact it had on us. Everyone's focus was to be green, and honestly, I just love seeing it. As for me, it really changed the way I looked at being a leader. I could be a locker room guy, but I could also be the leader that the team needs me to be. Through Lead 'Em Up, I always made sure that my team was having fun and making most of the time that we had on the field.
You're listening to the Lead 'Em Up podcast, powered by Chick-fil-A.
Today I'm joined by Kyle Almendorf, our regional Lead 'Em Up coach down in the Southeast, and today we're talking about leadership fatigue is a good thing. And I think for most listening, they haven't thought about it in this context that we're going to share today about what level of fatigue are you experiencing as a result of your leadership? And if there isn't a level of fatigue, or if this is extremely unfamiliar with you, I want you to lean into today's episode because gauging your level of fatigue can be a barometer to how well you are leading. And I would encourage you, if you're a coach, I would love for you to share this with your players, because it's probably a concept they've never thought about or heard about either, but it's one that they can kind of self-assess to determine, am I doing that extra as a leader? Am I pouring in? Am I leading up? Am I making the room better? But here's the context. When you are leading at a high level, when you are passionate about pouring into other people, when you are passionate about raising the level of the room that you're in, when you are passionate about raising the energy and spirit of those around you, when you are passionate about mentoring and, you know, coaching and building up other people, you should be experiencing fatigue. And it's not fatigue in a negative sense. It's not a, you know, rundown type of fatigue. It's a weird, strange dynamic of a fulfilling fatigue, where you get back at the end of the day and there's a level of energy loss and there is a level of fatigue, but it's combined with this feeling of fulfillment that I showed up really, really special, that I did a great job, that I poured in to those around me. I think about, you know, moments in my life where, you know, let's say I'll take, for example, at a coaching clinic where I'm being asked to speak a couple of times, and after sessions, I'm connecting with coaches, and then in between sessions, I'm interacting and networking with other people, and I'm working with this coach here and this team here and all that stuff, and you're going around, and there's been many nights where I've kind of sat down at the end of the night and I am just exhausted. I am just drained. You'll often hear it about, like, the term being on. Like, I just was on all day. And as a result, I was tired. I wasn't frustrated. I was fulfilled in my fatigue. But the reality was I had been given all that I had. Just pouring into others, trying to be high energy, just being engaged, just being enthusiastic, all those things. And it hits you. You feel that. Mm-hmm. So for today's episode, you know, the first question is, how often are you experiencing leadership fatigue? Is that something you experience? Do you find yourself at the end of a day of leading those around you, your team, your players, your coaches, et cetera, feeling fatigued? It's a way that we can kind of test and assess how much we are giving out.
Yeah, I agree. It's a great barometer for us as coaches to use with ourselves, amongst our staffs, and even as we begin to have those conversations with our athletes, because, again, we often say lead effectively, and we talk about leading by example, but leaders do more than leading by example. But how do you really know when you've fulfilled those duties and your responsibilities as a leader? And I think the point of talking about leadership fatigue, it's not a negative connotation. It's not saying that you're doing things wrong, but it's almost a healthy reality and a feeling that you've done your best and that you've really actually poured into other people. Because at the end of the day, if you don't have some sense of that after you go through a weekend of speaking, or if you go through a season as a coach, if you're not feeling a little bit of a fatigue, then you still have gas left in the tank. And that's maybe where you need to reevaluate things, is if you're not feeling like you need to recharge.
Yeah. You know, I always think about our friends over at PGC basketball. You know, we love Point Guard College, love all the folks over there. I've talked many times to their directors, and during the summer, it's their peak season. It is their prime time, and they've got their week-long overnight camps. And each of the directors at PGC basketball have talked about the fact that after their five-day overnight camp, they are absolutely drained. Mm-hmm. And they've shared that sentiment time and time again, every single one that I've talked about. And it's kind of capturing this point that we're making right now. They from Monday through Friday, when they're with their campers instructing and their fellow staff, all of that, okay? From the moment they wake up at 7 to the moment they put their head on the pillow at night, whatever time that happens to be, they are on. And it's not just being on, it's being on at a high level. And that's the difference. There's a lot of people that are on, right? You show up, you go to work, you're on. Okay, but like we're talking about high level of being on. Like in those instances of PGC, those directors, man, they're inspiring their staff, right? To have their staff to show up at a great, great high level. From the moment they're interacting with the kids and the campers and the athletes, they're, hey, what's up, man? How you doing? Hey, you ready to go? Hey, let's go. And then they're instructing and leading the camp at a high level, setting the tone, setting the standard. And during lunch, they're interacting, right? Like right. It's a state of being on at a high level. And, you know, we've said this many times, like leaders make every room they enter better. Right. Well, if you've got that mindset of just like everywhere I go, every interaction, every room I enter, I want to make it better. I want to pour life into and raise this level. That is going to have an impact on you. And if you, when you're hearing this, if you don't walk away sometimes in these moments of really feeling drained or feeling a level of fatigue, to your point, I love how you said it, Kyle, like there could be a little gas in your tank. And, yeah. You know, I think it's okay to empty it a little bit when it comes to leadership. Okay. Like pour that thing out, right? Go home, get a good rest. And wake up and fill your cup back up and, you know, overnight, but pour it out.
Yeah. There's two things, I think, before we get into how we can effectively manage that. When you were talking there about our friends over at PGC, it brought up two things for me that I remember in my coaching days. And like this morning, before we got together here to record, I dropped my sons off at their first camp of the summer, a football camp. And my youngest was very nervous and scared, had tears in his eyes because, you know, it's his first experience at a camp. He's not sure what to expect. My oldest is excited. And, you know, he asked me about when I used to run camps as a basketball coach when I was a head coach in Missouri. And to your point about being on, and I think a lot of our coaches can relate to this as we're getting to the summer months, is you're not only on for the people that are attending the camp, like those athletes, but you're on for the parents. Because you want to provide the most value and the best experience possible for everyone in attendance, because you know what word of mouth can do for your program. And like you said, when you wake up at 7 in the morning, you're on as you prepare, as you drive to the gym, as you're getting the day ready for camp, as you greet those campers and those parents, because everyone's nervous with young kids. And if maybe they're staying overnight, it just adds a little bit more to what you're anticipating and what you're feeling as a coach. And then you have to go through the entire day where the kids may get a break, but you don't get a break because you're encouraging somebody. You're giving teaching points to maybe basket coaches at PGC or your own athletes who are helping out. But throughout the day, you're pouring into someone. And at the end of that week, I remember on Friday when camp was over, I was exhausted. I just want to go home and sleep. And then I also think about at the end of a basketball season, As I was transitioning to my move to Florida, and I was kind of stepping and handing things over to my assistant, who was going to be the head coach after me, he asked me a question of, when do you pick back up things after the season? Like, how soon do you get back at the gym? And I said, you better give it 2 or 3 weeks because you're going to need it. Like, if you're doing things the right way, you're going to be exhausted. You're going to feel like you can't give anything more. And so I think, like, if you feel that way as a coach, and then you can talk to your athletes about that at the season, like, hey, when we get to February, when we get to March, we should be exhausted, because if we're not, we didn't give it our all. And those things come to mind when you were sharing that story there.
Yeah. You know, we have an exercise in Lead 'Em Up called speed mentoring. And I'll give an overview of that exercise for those that aren't familiar with it. Picture, envision speed dating. Think about the movie Hitch. I'm not a movie guy, but I'm going to reference a movie, right? Hitch, right? They go through that speed dating round. And, you know, if you're familiar with it, they sit there and couple, you know, a minute and a half, just boom, 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 try to get to know the other person. Then they go to the next person and on and on and on. And everyone is most likely familiar with the concept of speed dating, but we call it speed mentoring, where we select on average about 5 to 6 individuals. And we have them each prepare about 90 seconds worth of experienced learning that they've experienced over their last few years, right? That if they had to sit down with somebody and mentor them, like, what 90 seconds worth of experiences would you share of learnings through the trials and et cetera? We then break up the rest of the team in small groups, usually about 7 or 8 small groups around the room. And we go through this quote unquote speed dating, we call it speed mentoring, fire round, where literally the mentors, those 6 or so people that we've identified, will spend 90 seconds sharing to each of the 8 to 9 to 10 groups that are around the room. And the moment 90 seconds are done, they go to the next one, and the mentors rotate. Everyone else stays stagnant. The mentors rotate around to hit every group. So after the 10 or 15 minutes, each of these individuals will have said their little 90-second script, okay, of sorts, their little speech of sorts, 8, 9, 10 different times for all the groups. So it's funny, by the end of it, you know, they've gotten very good at it. That's the one takeaway, right? They kind of nailed their little 90-second speech there, or whatever it is. But they also have a level of fatigue at the end of it as well. By the time they have now said their 90 seconds of mentor experience learning to the 10th group, for example, and I'm like, all right, we're done. We're done, everybody. We're done. You can almost feel this, like, this sigh of like, oh, yeah, that was tiring. And when we bring it back together at the end of that speed mentoring round, and we begin to kind of break it down and talk about it and discuss it, I always love asking the question to the mentors, the players that we nominated as the mentors. Hey, who here by the end of the 10th round or so was just tired of like saying the same thing over and over? And they all raised their hand. Right? Mm-hmm. Understandably. I love reminding them in those moments that that is what it feels like to be a leader. That is what it feels like to be a mentor. You see, when you do this thing called leadership well, when you are a mentor well, when you're pouring into other people, there's going to be a level of fatigue from a mentor perspective. You're going to find yourself saying the same things over and over because you're trying to just pour in and build up and such. It will give you a glimpse of what it feels like to lead very well. And I love that moment because it almost, it's an eye-opening moment for the players because they are feeling fatigued. Okay.
It goes back to what we share often in Lead 'Em Up, and that the leadership hasn't been learned, or the lesson hasn't been learned until fully taught or translated. And so they continually maybe have to say the same thing, but then you're learning the nuance of saying the same thing, maybe in a slightly different way.
Yeah. And I agree. And I think in that exercise, when you do get that sense of fatigue from those mentors after the 10th time of saying it, I think what hits them is, I do believe that's the first time they felt some form of leadership fatigue in their life. Mm-hmm. They probably have never, in fact, you know, I'll ask them when, you know, pre-session, I'll say, hey, did you put your 90 seconds together? You got all your notes, all the things you want to share about things you would have liked to have done different or things you've learned over the years and things. And they'll be like, yeah, I put it all together. And I ask them, I say, how many of your teammates know about these things? Right? You know, like, know that like your sophomore year, you wish you would have done this differently, or know that like in your junior year, you didn't approach this well, but you wish you had. Like, how many of your teammates know about those things that you're going to share right now? You're going to pour into them. And in almost every instance, they always say, I don't think any of them.
Right.
Because that's what we talk a lot about from a mentoring perspective, like what you've learned, what you've experienced that has helped you grow. It shouldn't be for you alone. Right. We should share that with others. But so in many cases, it's the first time they're sharing it, but it's almost absolutely the first time they have felt fatigued from intentionally pouring in to other people.
Right. Yeah. You took the word right out of my mouth there with intentionally. I was going to bring up the point about it, intentionality. And that's a great reminder for us as coaches. And then a great way to teach that to our athletes is, you know, I've often found the best way for me as a coach to connect with athletes is to share personal experiences, struggles, lessons learned, things like that. But when we do that, we're intentionally making a note to do so. Mentally, maybe writing it on a practice schedule, we're putting that down. And so when you share about what the question that you give the athletes at the end of that session about why haven't you or when have you shared that, oftentimes it's probably because they really haven't been given the opportunity. You know, so it's a great point for us as coaches to be intentional about providing that opportunity for athletes to pour into each other. But then for us, you know, just as a reminder of, you know, if you don't make a note to do it, there's going to be something that comes up that may push it to the side. And so I think that's a point that we can always bring up as leaders too, is to make sure that the priorities remain the same thing, that the number one thing to build people up remains the number one thing. And when you do that constantly, because there's always going to be a tug against you with schedule changes, with, you know, things going on at school, issues at home, issues amongst athletes, whatever the case may be. But if you fight for your true goal in maintaining that, then you will feel fatigue in trying to accomplish that. And that's a healthy thing. There's always going to be that tension.
So that is why it's so important that we guard and protect our energy. We guard and protect our spirit. You know, we often say, you know, in our green team concept, which is one of our core concepts, in order to build green, you have to be green. Okay. Mm-hmm. So in order to build that special team, that special environment, that special culture, in order to build other people and such, you have to be green. Essentially, you've got to make sure you're remaining in a place where you can be special yourself. Okay. So that is why when you have a desire to pour into others at a high, deep level, okay, you've got to keep yourself at such a high level, because you can't enter into that room, you know, at 50% and expect to get everybody else, okay? Like, you've mm-hmm. got to really protect yourself. And, you know, when we talk about self-care, a very common phrase, you know, I don't necessarily love that phrase per se, but it's so important, right? Self-care, like, you've got to get your rest. Like, you've got to get fueled up in the morning, whatever that happens to be for you. You've got to do the necessary things, because your goal needs to be, I want to perform at a high level. I want to raise mm-hmm. the level of the room. I want to be on at a very, very impactful way. And if I'm not kind of taking care of myself, I'm going to struggle.
Hey, this is Josh from Chick-fil-A and author of the Adulting 101 book series, and this is today's leadership nugget. You must lead tasks before you can lead people. Too many people are concerned with the leadership title. Success is defined by when they begin to lead others, but each of us leads in a multitude of areas each and every single day. If we effectively lead the responsibilities that we currently have, it creates future opportunities to lead people. Leadership takes all sorts of different forms, and if you haven't started yet, you can begin your leadership journey today. Now, let's jump back into the episode.
I love sharing just the simple example of being on an airplane with people, either in a couple of the talks that I give or with students and athletes. I share the same thing is when you're on a flight and before you take off and the flight attendant goes through the instructions and they talk about the mask, you know, they tell you to do what with the mask first. And a lot of them, the students will say, well, you put it on the person next to you. I'm like, no. And they kind of look at you like, well, that's counterintuitive. Why would I do that? Because if you're dead, you're no good to the people around you. So you have to put your mask on first, whether self-care or anything like that. But I think the main thing with that, Adam, is self-awareness when it comes to putting your mask on. You need to know what recharges your battery because you're more of an extrovert than I am. I'm more of an introvert. The way that you maybe recharge is going to be a little bit different than I am, but it's still important that you and I both go through that process for ourselves. And if you don't put your mask on, if you, and I think this is kind of the caveat to leadership fatigue is, yes, you want to pour into others at a very high level, but if you don't pour into yourself at a high level, you're no good to everyone else because then you're constantly drained. And then you're going to start to slip and things might catch up to you. So, you know, sleep, you know, having voices that fill you, whether that's in a podcast or a YouTube or it's a book you read, it's really important to have something or someone that pours into you so then that you can go and share that with other people.
I think one of my favorite areas, Kyle, that this plays out is coaching clinics. I love this little dynamic here, and this, it always tends to happen. I've never really paid much mind to it, but in preparation of today's episode, I got thinking about it. At the end of coaching clinics, there's always happy hours, right? Everyone's always kind of hanging out, enjoying each other's conversation and just kind of connecting and networking. It's good, right? It's a good thing.
Yeah, good time.
I've found there's always this dynamic, and pay attention to it next time. The speakers of the day are usually around, right, of the different sessions and such. And the speakers always check out first compared to the attendees, right? Yeah, there have been many, many nights where we're speaking, we're doing the day, right? At the end of the day, everyone's kind of networking and we're there and there'll be some, you know, people will be hanging out and I may stop by for a little bit and just kind of interact and maybe network with a couple of coaches. And then I always find myself checking out earlier than everybody else. And it's not just me. It's almost like I feel like a consistent thing amongst the other speakers. They check out earlier than the attendees. When I say check out, they like, hey, I'm going to go up to my room, mm-hmm. right? You know, I'm out. Maybe they've had either a long day, right? And they're experiencing leadership fatigue, or they are protecting themselves for tomorrow, right? So they can be right on tomorrow. It kind of gives a little glimpse. The attendees are just kind of consuming that weekend. Okay.
Right.
They're coming in, they're trying to take notes. They're trying to learn. It's more of a relaxing kind of time away to kind of just connect and network with your own coaching staff, et cetera. Just, you know, get some good information and content. But it's a great illustration into this point. They, by the end of that day, haven't necessarily been approaching the day in a mindset of being on, in a mindset of like, I need to fill up, you know, make every room I enter better. I need to pour into others. No, they're kind of the consumers at that weekend. Whereas the speakers, for example, are the other side, right? We're pouring in, but it gives a glimpse into how an end of the day could look and should look in these two manners, right? Mm-hmm. One's like, all right, hey, y'all have fun. I'm checking out. And they go up to their room and they're like, whew, tired. Right. Or they're, hey, I'm checking out because tomorrow morning I need to be my best, right? Because in order for me to build the green environment and green leaders around me, I need to be green. And staying up here late tonight is probably not going to help me do that. So I'm out, guys. Hey, peace out. I'm going out. I'll see y'all in the morning. Just gives a little glimpse. And, you know, Kyle, one thing I really do want player or coaches to take from this, not only a personal self-evaluation, right? Really just kind of pushing yourself to get to that point and recognizing if I'm not feeling this fulfilled fatigue level. Could I have done a little bit more? But I really would love to encourage you to have this conversation with your players. This is a conversation that I, especially over the last year or two, have been having more and more with my leaders, with those individuals that are certainly the influencers within the group, where we're having these one-on-one conversations where I'm challenging them and asking them, like, hey, I appreciate you showing up, working hard, doing all those things, that quote-unquote lead by example belief that you have. But listen, I really want to help you because it'll be important for you. It'll be important for us. And listen, everybody gets better when you get better as a leader. I would love to have you lead by a even greater example. Do even more than what you're doing. And I want to test you. I want to see if there's ever moments where you're experiencing this leadership fatigue. And I actually want to get you to that point. I want you to think about it like a strength and conditioning coach, okay, that's trying to push their athlete to the point of, you know, kind of to that line, right? Not trying to like make them throw up or anything, but they want to push them. They want to challenge them. They want to have them kind of sit back on the gym floor in the weight room after the session, dripping in sweat, like, whew, like that was a workout. I want you, player, I want you to walk away from today's practice and conditioning session. I want you to walk away with a, whew, man, I tried to pour in as much as I could today. My energy was high. I was pushing everybody. Like, I want you to have that quote unquote proverbial sweat dripping from your leadership fatigue.
So what does that look like? See, I've got a couple things written down here that I'll share in just a second, but I think that brings up a great point again, is sometimes this gets to the point, it reminds me of the saying that leadership is the most often talked about and written about topic out there, but it's the least understood. Because a lot of the times people will say that, I want you to do more and I want you to lead. And that goes to like a, you know, a pet peeve of mine of people saying, well, we just don't have the leaders this year. Well, why not? You know? So if you want to experience leadership fatigue, I think, you know, one thing we can tell our athletes is have intentional conversations in between drills, have intentional conversations with a teammate before practice and after practice, meet with a coach about what you can do better and then share that with somebody else. Be the first one on the court or on the field, lead the group to the next drill, be the vocal encourager for the day. You know, we talk about that a lot in Lead 'Em Up, is be the one that gives the energy and enthusiasm. Don't wait for other people to do that. And then again, is just having that presence constantly throughout the practice of talking with others, talking with coaches. So what are a couple of things that you would share with a few athletes, Adam, on how to experience fatigue? Because that strength coach will say, well, okay, we're going to do low weight, high reps today. You're going to be so tired at the end of that. How do we do that as leaders?
Yeah, I love that question, Kyle. Let's just break it down as simple to remember acronym, LEAD, okay? LEAD, right? L, locked in engagement. I'm talking like sitting front row, right? Listening intently, okay? Like trying to truly like take every piece of information that coaches and others are sharing and not just allowing it go in one ear and lazily listening, but no, locked in, engaged, right? I'm going to be there. I'm going to ask questions. I'm going to, you know, gather the instructions to the point where I can then repeat and teach my teammates the instructions. Like, I want to get it at that level. And that can be tiring. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like when you're in a room just listening, that's one thing. When you're in a room trying to like get it, trying to learn it, like your brain is working harder. Okay. So
right.
Locked in engagement. Once again, sitting front row, asking questions, trying to learn things to the point where you can teach it to others. Okay. Here's the next one. E, energy and enthusiasm, right? Whichever one. I look at those two phrases as interchangeable, energy or enthusiasm. Man, set the standard with your energy and enthusiasm, right? Have some life to you. Okay. Go around, demonstrate touch points with your teammates, like with the little fist pounds, right? High five them, right? Speak up. right? Have some energy in life. But even if you're not even a outgoing individual where speaking up may be challenging, have energy within yourself. And way that looks is walk with a good energy and a pep in your step. Run to different exercises, right? Bounce from one thing to another. I can tell someone who has energy just by their mannerisms and their body language and their pace as they're walking from room to room. They're not lazily walking, right?
Man, that pace is, you can totally tell that. That is a key indicator right there for sure.
Yeah, I mean, when I see a kid walking into the gym, some of them just walk in all lazily, like they just got out of bed, right? Like headphones on, and they're just kind of like shuffling in, sort of.
Same thing as us as coaches entering the practice or just entering the building throughout a day. I think all of us need to be mindful of that because kids pick up on our energy just as much. Like the teacher that they pick up on in the classroom and that they love is the one that has that step, has that energy, and that you can tell in the tone of voice. 100%. Same thing with practice.
So that's the E, energy, enthusiasm. Here's the A, accountability, right? Like going out of your way to hold accountable your teammates, right? Pushing them, challenging them, encouraging them, right? Addressing and calling out things that are less than the standard, right? Pushing your teammates that aren't touching the line in sprints, right? Pushing and challenging your teammates that are, you know, not giving that extra rep, okay? Pushing and challenging your teammates that are showing up lazily, blah, lifeless, getting them going. Like this level of accountability, this interaction from an accountability standpoint with their teammates, right, is going to provide a little level of fatigue by the end of the day if you're doing it all throughout the day, which you should, okay? You're going to feel that, but that accountability needs to be there. And then the last one is D, which is direct connections or direct connecting. Listen, to your point you alluded to a moment ago, not just staying in your circle of friends, not just staying within your clique, but actually making an intentional effort to connect directly with all your teammates, okay? Each and every one of your teammates. Whether they're the starter or the last person in rotation, right? Connecting directly with all these teammates, trying to get to know them, trying to understand what makes them tick, trying to gauge where they are on a daily basis, okay? Trying to encourage them individually in their own world, in their own space, okay? Trying to go around and connect with each and every person. We say you always should connect before you lead, okay? Mm-hmm. So going around and connecting, seeing how they're doing, checking what was the highlight of your weekend, not just how was your week? Oh, good, that's good, but no. Hey, what was the highlight? Actually trying to establish a relationship. Listen, you go in each and every day locked in, engaged, a locked in level of engagement, right? Just trying to learn it, study, and trust me, you know, Kyle, my head hurts some days after really being locked in and engaged, right? I'm like, I've been thinking too hard today, okay? Right? The E, energy, enthusiasm, bring it, right? Raise the standard. It can show up in many different ways. The A, accountability, be holding everyone accountable. That can come by way of feedback, coaching, critiquing. It can also come by way of encouraging other people and direct connecting, getting out of yourself, right? Getting beyond just your own head, getting outside of your own little clique and comfort circle, but really trying to go around and connect and build direct relationships with all your teammates. I tell you, you do all of that on a daily basis at a high level on top of your work you have to do. Keep in mind.
Right.
This is part of the reason the fatigue comes into play because you still have to show up and do your job. Right. You still got to put the reps in. You still got to put the weights up. All right. If you're in the weight, you still got to do your job. So all this is above your job, which is why this fatigue becomes such a factor, because you add all of these things at a high level combined with everything else. Now, all of a sudden, you just showing up at practice, you're actually tired. Actually, I know so many kids that they go to practice, right? And they leave practice full of energy, right? Just as if they didn't even do anything. I'm like, man, if I knew you had this much energy still, we should have ran a little bit more. You know, like you always hear coaches joke like that, you know? But I hope those four things kind of broken down in that way are helpful just to kind of give a little direction. If you're a player, you do those four things at a high level day in and day out. I'm going to tell you, one, your team's going to get better. I'm going to tell you, two, you're going to be growing as a leader. And three, going back to the topic of this episode, there's going to be a level of fatigue. But once again, it won't be a frustrating fatigue. It'll be a fulfilled fatigue. You're going to put your head down on that pillow feeling really good about what you did that day. And I tell you, growth of others is intoxicating to oneself. Mm-hmm. When you begin to experience and see firsthand the growth of those around you and the growth of your team, you will begin to become intoxicated with it. Like you will begin to enjoy it and want more of it, where then you're going to go to bed that night with this fulfilled fatigue, but man, you're going to want it the next day. And it's going to cause you to wake up the next day and be on because you loved what you experienced the day before. And now you want to repeat it the day after. And all of a sudden now it's becoming part of who you are. So this leadership fatigue, so critical to assess how well are we leading, how well and how much are we pouring in. If we're experiencing it, awesome. That is a good thing. If this was a concept that was fairly new, you couldn't relate to it that well, allow that to be a level of conviction for you, that there could be more that you could be doing day in and day out to make that room you enter better, to raise the level of the room, to raise the level of others. Hopefully this episode has been helpful for you. Kyle, is there anything you want to add before we wrap up?
Yeah, I love those 4 points there. And that's a great way to make this tangible for ourselves and for our athletes. And I would just challenge coaches to really share that, like you said, with the team of this is how I want to lead you. And this is how you should lead each other. And I look at a quote from Booker T. Washington that says, if you want to lift yourself up, lift someone else up. And for me, a lot of the times too, is when you do have fatigue, the best way to get past fatigue is to get right back at it and connect with other people. And whether that's at an energy component where I'm lacking energy one day, or maybe it's just I'm had a rough morning or it was hard getting the kids up or whatever the case may be. But I always find that trying to interact with others and lead students or athletes, the more that you do that, your spirits get filled. And the more it's really true that the more you pour into others, the better you're going to feel and the better that your spirits are going to rise. So I think that all plays hand in hand.
Yeah, well said, Kyle. Well, listen, everyone, we appreciate you so much. On behalf of Kyle, myself, we are Lead 'Em Up. Have fun. Until next time, we're out.
We want to take a moment and thank our friends over at Chick-fil-A for partnering with us on the Lead 'Em Up podcast. Chick-fil-A is mostly well known for their incredible original chicken sandwich and those amazing waffle potato fries. But what people might not understand is there is a lot more going on behind the counter. You see, every Chick-fil-A is individually owned and operated by someone who deeply cares for their community and for their team. So next time you get an urge to go buy a Chick-fil-A, remember, it is more than just a chicken sandwich. We are thankful to Chick-fil-A. And thankful for you for listening. So until next time, have fun and lead 'em up.